I was filled with the Spirit, and I said, you know what? I want to praise, and we're going to have some church in here this morning. And I want everybody to sing along with me. I'm just going to sing. And the first line I'm going to say is, I believe in Jesus. And I just want you to join in with me. Like when I was a kid, and the pastor got up, and they didn't have no music, and he started just like this, and he would say, I believe in Jesus, because he loves me so. Sing with me. I believe in Jesus, because he loves me so. Yes, he died on the cross for me. Oh, how I trust in Jesus, because he loves me so. Oh, how I trust in Jesus, because he loves me so. Oh, yeah, how I trust in Jesus, because he loved me so. Yes, he died on the cross for me. One more high praise. Come on now. Oh, I praise him in his name, because he loved me so. Oh, how I praise him in his name, because he loved me so. Oh, yeah. How I praise him in his name, because he loved me so. Yes, he died on the cross for me.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. How I treat
him. Amen. Amen.
Because he loves me so. Amen.
He loves me so. Amen. 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 Thank you, sir. Amen. Let us get ready, y'all. Let us go here and go before the throne. Father, we thank you again for this opportunity to call on your great name. Lord, I need your help today. I need your help every day, but especially here preaching your word. I realize that the preaching is not in me, God. The preaching is not in Daryl Jensen Durley, Lord. The preaching is in you, Holy Spirit. So by that, I'll implore you, I ask you to move everything that may hinder your word going forth. I ask, Lord, that you just move anything that kind of directs or distorts or even minimize your word, Lord. We ask, Lord, that your word, you come inside, oh God, and do what you have, oh God, in me, oh God, so that your word will come down fresh and anew to all of the hearers. And that we thank you, God. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here in this space in me now, Lord. Oh, fix my mouth, fix my eyes, fix my remembrance of everything that you have for us today, God. And let it be in such a way, oh God, that it just brings out new understanding and new life, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I thank you for at this time. We've been going through Peter and trying to figure out what Peter is trying to tell us, because he has so much to tell us, and it's really different trying to understand how what he wrote, what was written years ago, will have an impact on us today. Mm. Yes, I know it's kind of difficult at times to understand how the scripture would have that type of longevity, but let me greet you, if you will. Let me greet you with our psalm. Our psalm today, our greeting is in Psalm 26. And I'm trying to get there. I'm trying to help us get to somewhere. Amen. Because we got some stuff here we're trying to work on. So it's not kind of a setup. It's kind of a build up. So our psalm greeting is in 26. It says, Psalm 1 says, vindicate me, Lord, for I have led a blameless life. I have trusted in the Lord and have not faltered. Test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind, for I have always been mindful of your unfailing love and have lived in reliance on your faithfulness. I do not sit with the deceitful, nor do I associate with hypocrites. I abhor the assembly of evildoers and refuse to sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in innocence and go about your altar, Lord. That was scripture reading again. Let me just be quick. 1 Peter 3:8, finally, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessings, because to this you are called, so that you may inherit a blessing. 15, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Our message for today is, if I knew then what I now know, what I know now. Amen. If I knew then what I now know. 3 points. There's a prophet in actions from these verses. There's a prophet in reactions from this verse. And there's a prophet in preparations. Amen? Amen, somebody. I just want you to know, sometimes our Christian arrogance, sometimes our Christian arrogance creates a hostile environment. Sometimes our Christian arrogance forms a mine is better atmosphere that is unappealing to a hurting world. A world that needs just a little more compassion, not a reactive compassion, but a proactive compassion, a compassion that profits you and me. I will fail to acknowledge you, understand you, care about what you are or what you want if I live with the mind is better filter on my eyes. Let me try it like this. If my mind is better filter over my eyes, I won't acknowledge your existence. I won't understand what your beef is about something. Or matter of fact, I really won't care if you live or if you don't live, because mine is better filter is determine your worth. But according to the book Beyond Feelings by Vincent Ruggiero, egocentric people focus on oneself. Let me try. You see, now we call them narcissists in some areas, but sometimes we call them just egocentric. Amen. Ego speak as one that love to talk about what they want to talk about. And it's usually something about they want to talk about themselves. I know. You go in and says, how's the weather? And the first thing they do, they go to Psalm 26. I don't like the weather. I would much prefer better weather ever in Texas. Wow, wait a minute, I'm just asking you about the weather. But the ego speak for an egocentric person loves to talk about what they want to talk about. Egocentric, I don't know if you know about it, if you ever try to talk to one, the individuals that are hard to resolve any issue. That's how we get the term, we're just agree to disagree. Because there's no way talking to you with their egocentric self. Mm. But then we got a ethnocentric group. Mm. Ethnocentric group is anyone or any outgroup is already the ready-made villain. What you talking about? Well, what I'm saying is that when you in this ethnocentric group, you already got some biases about anybody outside of the group. The crime rate is up because it's somebody outside of my group. I can't do this because somebody outside of my group, whether it's race, whether it's religion, whether it's fraternity, whether it's sorority, it's some type of ethnocentric group that says mine is better. I'm challenging you today because we don't want Christianity to fall into this ethnocentric group. Let me try to help you out right there. We get a ready-made villain already. I come to you with my car may be busted. Because you're in an ethnocentric group, the first thing you do is make me out the villain. If you had been doing this, if you had been doing that, you would have had money to do this and that. And sometimes when I come over you hurting, coming to the church hurting, you come in with your ethnocentric attitude where yours is better, your Jesus is better than the Jesus I've been, that you make me just like, man, I'm sorry I ask you church folks anything. Ethnocentric group. When you go and you look down your nose and you already got a prejudice against you, already against someone. Let me try to help you out because some of you are looking and say, I don't know what you're saying. And there's a song that was done in, I want to say about 10 years ago called Dear Mr. Kristen. The artist is the artist by the name of Derek Minor, but he collaborated with a group guy named D. Warren and another one, Lecrae. You know Lecrae. But Lecrae verses goes like this in this part. It says, excuse me, I don't quite understand. He's talking to the Christian. I don't quite understand you. Propaganda and banter and all of this empty chatter. And amidst these amens, hallelujah, and shucking jiving, I see a lot of hypocrites and hyper criticizing. Mr. Lecrae, my mama sold me up the river for some rocks, and daddy told me I was nothing but a problem. Now here you come telling me I'm a low down dirty sinner, and you got the nerve to wonder why I'm in these streets robbing. Well, go and get Batman, and go and get Batman. I don't need to be judged by you and all of your whack friends. Aren't gluttony a sin? Why are you staring at my gin? Where I'm from, we don't pretend. We know we ain't getting in. Now the world don't trust me, and these streets done crush me. Thought you were known for love, but you just love to judge me. Truth is, ironically, you need me around, though. Because otherwise, you got nobody else to look down on, dear Mr. Christian. But if I knew then what I know now, I'm telling you, I know right now that I'm not going to get through but one part of this. Say it, no, this one day. We're just going to get to this one part. I have 3 points. But the first point, there's a prophet in my actions. That's a prophet in my actions. Let me see if we can get to verse 8. Because the verse 8, if you remember, If you remember how Peter had was just talking to different groups, the makeup of his groups, come to find out that there were so many reasons, so many factors that went into how he labeled that. You know, it has slave servants, and then it has wives, and then it has husbands. And now it says all of you. So it's talking to the rest. It's talking to not only, it says, look, I pointed out some stuff to some specific groups that's going to affect them, but it's also about showing some type of humility, some type of suffering that was going on because what the climate was like. But here it is, this point, he says, look, I'm talking to the whole group now. He says, all of you. Let me try that. This is he said, look, I'm trying to talk to all of you, because there's some prophets in actions. The actions, the scripture tells you to, let me just go back to the scripture so we can find it. Amen. So it said, finally, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. What you're saying? What I'm saying is that there's a benefit, there's a profit to what you're doing with this. The profit of just doing and living those just that verse is that you have some brotherly love. Well, because of this brotherly love, also is a love that come nearest to the spirit of the Father. Brotherly love is to love one another because he is our brother and for no other reason. Can you give me an example? Yes. Let me try it like this. I love Travis just because he's my brother. I love Buck just because he's my brother. I love Nolan just because he was my brother. I love Melvin because he is my brother. I love Henry because he, but you know, this word, when it was translated, also means that mankind. So what? I love Juanita just because she's my sister. Amen. She's my sister. But listen, when you come to accept Christ as your love, as your Lord and Savior, you realize you have some other brothers and sisters. I love Brother Jefferson because he's my brother. I love Sister Jefferson. She's my sister. I love Brown Temple, Sister V, Sister Mother Border. I love them. Just because you get some profits, just because, just because of who they are, just because I got some more brothers and sisters that I hadn't met yet. Amen. You're nearest to the Father, you're nearest to the Son, and you're nearest to the Holy Spirit just by displaying this love for one another. Man, I'm gonna try to rush here. Let me see, but this brotherly love. Oh my goodness. But one of the other thing is that how are you gonna be like-mindedness? How are you gonna have this unity of one mind, a unity of spirit? Well, it comes because we gotta first have a tender heart. Let me try this. This part of being tender heart can't be taken out of context. This tender heart is trying to tell these brothers are believers. Amen. So look, I'm gonna be resolute. I'm gonna be mad if you ain't my brother and sister. I can't go for the okie doke. You know, where you got it, where the Bible says be tender-hearted. Yes, it tells me to be tender-hearted to my brothers because we hold one mind. Because we don't want, if we're tender-hearted, just because somebody come with a sob story. Yeah, let me try this. Just because somebody come up with a sob story and you fall for it, that's not what this Bible is talking about. That's not what this verse is talking about. You got to have some, to say, you got to have some discernment and say, no, man, you're trying to get into my pockets. Amen. I'm not for that. This is taken out of context. Are you my brother? Are you my, well, then if you're my brother, you got some compassion in there too. And because that's what we're saying here in the scripture. Amen. But look, this tenderness is something that the church is missing. When we go to this ethnocentric type of position in our church, it makes where the people don't feel comfortable coming to the church. That's what we're saying with our mission. We loving one another. We love each other all day long. The choir sing well, the preacher did okay, and all of that. We loving that. But you get outside of church, man, get out of my way. Get out of my way. No love. Where's your compassion? That's what it's saying. You can be just compassionate inside the walls. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's what we're saying. The mission of the church. Yeah, because we know that Jesus is telling us that you can have the poor with you. What you going to do with it? Are you going to show some compassion? Or are you just going to be showing compassion only to my brothers and sisters? Lord, have mercy. But you know, so where it needs, with this compassion and the tenderness, you got to have some love. If you want to love, if you want the Holy Spirit to leave your house, just walk around being angry and see if you can get a prayer through. That's all right. That's all right. Just walk around being obstinate. Amen. And see if the Holy Spirit was coming, walking in there and say, oh, yeah, I know you're mad, but I still want to be here. See if the Holy Spirit wants to show some grace when you're walking over there and you can't say nothing to your loved one. If I knew then what I now know, I missed some crazy opportunities because I was egocentric in myself and I couldn't get to what Christ is trying to tell me, the benefits of just being tenderhearted, a benefit of just showing some brotherly love, a benefit of just being compassionate. Amen. Somebody, I know some of you guys may have missed some opportunity, but listen, I know the Lord is flashing some stuff in your mind where it was going to cost you that much more to go in and do that little thing more, even if it was to go back and give them that water. Yes. Compassionate. There's some stuff, some missed opportunities that we have just in our actions. Amen. 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 Man, we got some actions. But listen, we got some prophets of reaction. Prophets of reaction. Because you have the reactions, the way you react is either going to pour gasoline on the fire, or are you going to be able to have some peace? Some arguments are just not worth having. Some arguments, yes, man, I'll talk to myself. Some arguments are not worth having. Some arguments, y'all, are just not worth having. Amen. I'm okay. You be all right. I'm okay with that. It's not worth this to go in and because there's some provoking that's going on. There's three things that they want to look at, that they want to realize, that they're saying, look, you've been called in this passage. You've been called to bless those who persecute you. You've been called to bless, to be fearless about what they're going to do. Or you've been called to maintain a good conscience. Let me try to set this thing for you. Set the background for you. Because if you remember Peter, who Peter is talking to, who Peter is writing to. Peter opened up on the eve of persecution by Nero. I hope you look at Google and look at Nero, N-E-R-O. Search that name. You'll see how he persecuted the Christian. I know you're tired of me hearing it, tired of me saying it, but that's all right. Nero, who was anxious to divert the suspicions of the people who accused him of setting fire to Rome. he charged a Christian with the crime and caused them to be seized, tortured, and slain. Sometimes they were some were crucified, some were clothed in the skin of wild beasts that they may be torn by the dogs. Some have been rubbed over with pitch or tar and were made to serve as torches to light up the imperial garden. It is true that the severity was confined to the neighborhood of Rome, because listen, Peter's talking to the folks in Asia Minor. Remember that chapter one, right? Chapter one, verse one. But Rome was the center. I mean that all of that stuff went out to, all the stuff that was happening there, the persecution went out to Asia Minor too. Yeah. Yeah. So what he's saying is that, so what the question is, it says, okay, if Peter is talking to them, what that got to do with me? Well, I'm glad you asked that, because the fire, the rack, the headsman axe are gone, but there are words that burn. There are looks that go to us like poison. There is treatment that stings us like a scourge. As long as the truth, what the church is about, what the church is called to maintain, as long as there is truth, because we are not of this world, as long as there is truth, all the people of this world are going to hate you and I. That's what he's saying. For look, when you get persecuted, when you get treated like that, just because if you've been a Christian, the prophet is that you just still stay hanging there like a soldier. Because the thing is, when you retaliate, give evil for evil, then it says, what good, what image do you put on your Christianity?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Let me try it like this. If I'm singing in the choir, and somebody in the audience, in the congregation says, oh, Brother Durley, you really sing. I said, yeah, I'm going to use my mouth for the Lord. Mm-hmm. But then, yeah. And then I walk out of the church, and I think that brother is no longer listening to me, and I get in the argument, and I'm calling these bombs, you know, these cuss words down. And then that brother come back around and said, I thought you were using your mouth for the Lord. What's that? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now you see how, because I got pulled into that, and that old stuff came out. And so now, what it says, man, look, now you got that person in the congregation looking at you funny every time you open your mouth. Mm-hmm. Because what I don't care how good you sing before the Lord. Mm-hmm. Are they going to remember it, how you was cussing like a sailor in the parking lot? Right, So how is that going to benefit the Lord? That's the reason I'm saying the prophet of being compassionate, the prophet of being reactive in a way that's going to glorify God is benefit to you and for the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Man, I hope that get to somebody. Mm. I hope that get to somebody. Woo! And lastly, we had our prophets of actions, mm-hmm. and we had our prophets of reaction. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to go right here now. This is 15, verse 15 is very peculiar. This is so much impact in verse 15, y'all. I don't know if you look at 15, look at your 15. I'm gonna give it to you right here. I'm gonna give it to you 15 because there's so much in there. What are we looking at? He says, but in your hearts, you're talking about already you being persecuted for being good. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying it's okay if you don't have much of an argument if you're persecuted for being bad. But if you're persecuted for being good, you know, you got some reactions that you got to do. But listen what it says in 15. It says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Some of your verses, it'll say sanctify Christ as Lord. But the thing is always to be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And I'm just going to get right there. It said, but do this with gentleness and respect. This sanctification, the sanctification in your heart. Y'all, think about that. Jeremiah said, your heart is deceitful. Mm-hmm. Right? Now he comes, now here Peter saying, but sanctify Christ in your heart. It said, look, how can anything so deceitful sanctify anything? Let me try to help you. It says to glorify means in word and deed to recognize God's glorious perfection. To magnify God means to recognize his greatness. To justify God means to recognize inherent justice. So to sanctify him means to recognize God in his word and deed, his full wholeness, and therefore treat him with due awe. How you sanctify him is that you don't treat him like, oh, well, he's the man upstairs. No, that's not sanctifying it to me. When the people go and say, I'm going to give, I shudder at that thought. I said, man, look, the God of the universe, the holiness, the holy supreme, the most high God, he's more than just a friend or a man upstairs. He's more than just a casual buddy, a peace God. No, no, I am in awe of God. I'm a sanctify. If you don't want to sanctify, that's you and your business. But me, I'm a sanctified God in my heart. Matter of fact, when I'm over trying to write and trying to type all of this, these words, you bet. I capitalize when I'm talking he, when I refer to God. I capitalize H and his when I'm talking about his goodness. I capitalize the H. I don't want to trivialize anything. It was a rumor that said when the scribes were translating his message, that when it came to Jehovah, they would get up and wash off and then come back because they respected his name. You don't have to sanctify him. I just say, I'm going to sanctify my God. Well, in my heart, amen? In my heart. But this hope, first of all, I think your King James says apology. Let me see if we can translate this apology. The apology means to be ready to give an answer. It doesn't mean that you apologize like we're meaning now. You know, I'm sorry for this. No, it's not. It's not that. It's more like, it's more like a Perry Mason questioning you, and so you have to not give him an apology, but you got to give your indication of what went wrong or what went right. Okay, so that's what it said. Give your answer ready. Uh-huh. Yeah. But let me just finish this and bring this on home. It says, but preacher. You should be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope. That's what I want to go home with, for the hope. What is this hope? Well, to me, it's the hope of salvation. I just want you to know that I'm going to be completely delivered from the power of sin. Maybe that didn't help you out. Maybe it's the hope of eternal life. One day, y'all, I don't have to study war no more. I've got some eternal life. Maybe that didn't do nothing for you. But there's a hope of a resurrection, meaning that one day we will be resurrected in a new body. Maybe that'll get nobody attention, but it's the hope of glory. The hope is that the whole entire being, where nature will be a shiny new form. Maybe that didn't get nobody, but in the hope of the glorious appearing of Christ. What does that mean? Just to behold him. Yeah. That's my hope. Maybe that still didn't get nobody, but the thing is, my hope is that I want to be with the Lord forever. I don't know about you, but my hope is built on nothing less. But listen, on this hope that we have built on, what do we rest on, where we rest on the hope that the work of Christ is like you said it is. We rest on the hope that the promises of God have always been true. We hope and we rest in our hope that God's word is true. Amen. But there's some experience. Lord, listen now. There's some experience. Some of you guys have experienced something that the rest of us would never go through. And because of that experience, you know there is a God somewhere.
Yes, yes.
And because of that, you have hope that's unshakable. Yes. He said, man, what? I've seen them before. I've seen the hope of how God has done something for me when the doctors walk out of the room. When you're laying over there with your chest open. Amen. You know that God is being good to you. Some of you have experienced something that's the most of us would never will. And because of that, you said, man, I got some hope.
Yeah.
He brought me through so many things.
Yeah.
But the thing is, and I'm done. The thing is, our response has got to be with gentleness and respect. Because if you're not, we'll fall back into that ethnocentric group.
Yeah.
And it says, look, mine is better. And that's not appealing because it's nothing about your group that makes me want to join. But there is a way as part of that group that we go in and share and we give our reply about this answer, this hope that we have that makes it appealing because now we realize we can identify with those outside of the group. It says, look, man, it's by the grace of God. There go I. Look, I'm trying to help you get to this. Not that we can look down on others. I just want you to be my brother and sister. I want you to go. I want you to have this same living hope that I have, that one day all of this stuff is going to be over. One of these days, I get to be with Christ forever. Amen. One of these days, I get to hear, well done. You say what you want. I just want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Come on. Oh, that's what I want. That means that I need to bite my tongue when you come at me wrong? So be it. That doesn't mean that I go in, I'm going to be checking you out. I'm not going to let you just walk me. Amen. Amen. You're not going to walk me. But I want you to realize there's some stuff that we can do. We can be prepared. We can be prepared, amen, prepared to give an answer. But give an answer in Jesus with gentleness and respect. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, Lord, the word of God. For the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Man. Woo. I just want to share with you as we're coming up to the next few verses. There's a lot more study that I have to get into because let me just share with you because there's some passages the scriptures are talking about Jesus preaching to the dead. We need to flesh that out. Amen. Amen. Because the preaching to the dead, folks have taken that and says, okay, then I can live this life. And if I don't acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that's okay. Because when I'm dead, he's going to be preached to the dead again. And so I have another choice, a second chance. And so we need to flush that out. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we need to flush it out. So it's a lot trying to get all of those, experts. And get what they say because we know that you know every man has an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior while you're living. While you're living, so not when you're dead. So we need to flesh that out. So y'all, you keep me in prayer as we keep going on with the next verse, especially 4 and 6. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 6. But also, I think in 19, too, it talks about preaching to the dead. Amen?
Yeah.
But we want to work that out. Amen. Amen, y'all. Woo! Amen. Amen. Whew. So, amen. So right there, we want to have the invitation to discipleship. And I think it's really going to hit home next time, if the Lord says so, is that when we go and talk about second chances. So we don't know if tomorrow is promised to us. We don't know if the next minute is promised to us. Amen. So we want to share this hope that we have. This hope that we have in none other than Jesus Christ's blood. That's the reason the blood of the songs of the blood have so much meaning. Amen. When they're growing up, because I didn't know back then, but they were singing the songs. Oh, why we got to sing this? Let us break bread together every Sunday. You know, why Miss Taylor has to sing that song? You know, why do we sing? Why do the stewardesses get up in white and they have that little thing on their head? I'm just messing with you. But you have those things, those prayer caps on your head. Why they go and do this? You know what I'm saying? So I didn't know that then, but now I know. I know the significance of the blood. I know the significance of what Christ did on the cross. Because of that, I have a hope. And I should hope that you have the same. If you don't look, I give you what those hopes are. I hope in eternal salvation. I hope in eternity. I hope to be with God. I hope what He did. That's my hope. That's good. I will email you these hopes so you can get it right. Amen. So you'll be prepared for it. Amen. 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 So we want you to get that right so you know that where your hope lies. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to give you an opportunity now before we get ready for our communion. We want to have an opportunity now. Listen, let me do this for you. I'm just doing it for us. So if you're not sure, and this is your first time and you mean this prayer. Amen. It's just like that. Put a chat with us, to everybody. Let us welcome you to this family, because now, you know, one of the prophets, one of the benefits of this action is that you have brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. So you're gaining some brothers and sisters if this is your first time doing. If you will, use the chat feature to say, sure, if this is your first time, or if you're recommitting. Okay, but recommitting back to Christ. Amen? It says, Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, but I also know that you are Savior. Please forgive me of my sins. Can you see the difference from when we open up in Psalm 26? It was all about, I did this, I did this, I did this. But here it is. I know I'm a sinner, but I need you. I need you, Lord. I repent of them now, and I choose to follow you from this moment forward as my Savior, Lord, my God, and my friend. Thank you for dying on the cross for me and rising again from the dead. I ask you to come into my life. I choose to follow you from this day forward. Thank you for loving me and calling me and accepting me. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If that's what you feel for the first time, I hope that you will share with us in the chat so we can all celebrate along with you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. With this, I give you a couple of minutes. We're getting ready to go into our communion. And Reverend Reese, if you're still with us on the line, I would love for you to do the general confession and all of that up to the Sanctus, I believe. Amen? So let me get those slides for us. Amen. But I thank God for this part of the scripture. And the reason is, y'all, is that there's so much that's happening. There's so much that was going on in this scripture, in this time. There was so much that was going on for the people to get this letter. I mean, they were facing all of this opposition, this persecution, this hatred. So they were looking for some reason to go in and say, see, I told you that Christianity was not about nothing. As soon as they got in